children's workers.
I'll hold it now. Woo-hoo. And that was one of the teachers. Woo-hoo. That was good. Did you hear that? That was great. Unbridled passion. You got to like that. Good stuff going on back there. If you want to be involved with children's ministries, do let us know. Very important teaching. These are the years they need to be getting this stuff. A couple of announcements for you that you need to know about if you haven't looked. I'm not going to read them all to you. Quarterly meeting, which was originally scheduled for today, has been pushed back till next week. That's good because it gives you further notice to know that at that time, this is official notice according to our Constitution, that at that time we'll be voting for Greg. Greg, raise your hand. Good. Greg Spiegel, and we're going to vote for him for elder, affirm him for elder. And we're also going to do the same for Jerry Peterson, who must have woo-hooed out with kids. Oh, there he is back there. And Jerry Peterson is coming on our deacon board. There will be votes of affirmation for that next Sunday after the morning service. Also at that time, we'll be announcing the plans that we will be having in light of Luke leaving and those responsibilities. So you want to be here for that next week. The big deal on this whole announcement sheet to me is Christmas Eve, 6 p.m., a chance for you to bring somebody here to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ within the context of Christmas. Christmas music, Christmas lighting, and Christmas worship and glorifying of Jesus Christ, which we've been doing the past couple of weeks, and we're definitely going to continue today as we speak. But listen, be thinking about the person whom you'd like to have visit that day with you, friend, relative, coworker, whoever, who would just need a touch of feeling family that we got going on here, and then on top of that, we get to hear a great message about Jesus Christ through music and song and speaking and reading and et cetera. Just a good night. And it's going to be a candlelight service, too. So we will turn the service dark at one point in time. It's nighttime. It'll be completely dark in here. And we will do the candle lighting as we sing together. Just a neat family tradition for this church. And so be banking on it. Christmas Eve, 6 o'clock. Do come, will you? Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning. We ask only one thing, and that's that you glorify yourself at this time. We ask that you would be the one who does the speaking. We ask that you would be the one who tells us and leads us in our hearts what we're to think and how we're to change our attitudes and our actions to be more like Jesus in every way. So, Father, we ask you this morning that you'd be glorified, you'd be magnified, that you take center stage. And, Father, I pray personally that you just take me over right now and speak through me by your Holy Spirit. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, from the time you were yay big, all right, from the time you were yay big with the kids that just ran out for Children's Church to the time that you're now, there is one overriding thing that you hear at Christmas. And what do people say to each other when they go near each other the next couple of weeks? Family, friends, and people you don't know. You go check out, and the person behind the register says to you, Merry Christmas, right? And the ones that say Happy Holidays, you can talk to them later, all right? But Merry Christmas gets said. Merry Christmas. You will say it hundreds and hundreds of times, whether you mean it or not. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. You turn on TV. Merry Christmas from the commentators. Merry Christmas from the news people. Merry Christmas. You ever heard this message before? Have you ever heard that before? Of course you have. There's a second phrase or question that is asked at this time, which I'm sure you haven't thought much about. It started when you were this big, and it still goes on today. Here's how it works. The day after Christmas or Sunday after Christmas, some kids come in the room under teenage, and you want to be the cute older person at church and welcome the kids. And you say to them this phrase or question, hey, what did you get? And then the unfortunate thing, if you talk to, I'm not going to point out any kids, but there's a few kids in this crowd that if you say that to, you're going to get the full answer. So they're going to go like this. Well, first I got this, but mom was going to get this, but then they got this, and then I got this, and you're like, you ever had that happen? Okay. Now that's amongst the kids, right? Wrong. That's not amongst the kids. Because you ladies, when you're alone, you don't want to throw your husband under the bus, do you? Well, I shouldn't have left that open like, do you? Because somebody might answer that, okay? Don't answer that. But you ladies get together, and you're in the back by the kitchen, and one of you goes, hey, what did you get for Christmas? Well, look what I got. I got this. And the guys, when they're alone, they talk that way too.
Hey.
I'm trying to do the man voice now.
Hey, what'd you get for Christmas?
And they go, oh, I got more.
And they start talking about what they got for Christmas. And this goes on, doesn't it? If you're a grandparent, you ask your grandkids, and you know full well what they got. And you say to your grandkids, hey, what'd you get for Christmas? And they go, I got this, and I got this, and mom was going to get this, but then we got this, and I got this. Everybody got that? You will be asked, what did you get for Christmas? But I think that this whole discussion needs to be turned upside down. Because when we talk about Christmas, we talk about this. Let me do it the right way, like a pastor. What did you get for Christmas? Well, the original Christmas, what you got was Jesus Christ. And everybody knows the story of Jesus Christ. I'm going to get a little blasphemous here, so just hang on, okay? And that's old hat. Because everybody's heard that before. It's no longer really exciting. True? Nobody has the guts to say that with me, okay? It's not exciting. Oh, I know the story. Jesus came to earth, little baby in a feeding trough, grows into, oh, he's Jesus, the Son of God, sinless, perfect Son of God. He goes to the cross in obedience to the Father. He bears my sin. He dies. He then resurrects. He goes back to heaven. If I receive him as Lord and Savior, then I know I can have heaven with him forever. And have I just not nailed it in 15 seconds? Everybody knows this stuff. That's what it means for Christmas. That's the whole story of Christmas, correct? It's fun. I wish we were in a class with a whiteboard right now. We'd have a little fun with this, all right? What did you exactly get when Jesus Christ came to this earth? Did you just get that little story? That story's all true and all good, by the way. But is that all you got? So the question for this morning is this. What did you get? Can you put a finger on what you, and I know the English, for you English majors, I am sorry. What you got, okay? What did you get at Christmas? What did you really got at Christmas when Jesus Christ came here? And that's what we're going to talk about. And we're going to use one of the most common pieces of scripture that's been used for this time of year. You've heard this sung before. I almost broke out a little bit ago in a little bit of this from the Messiah, just for Luke to help him out. I asked to do a solo this morning of this, but he wouldn't let me do it. But here it is. Let me read for you. I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. I might actually go to 7, but verse 6. You've heard this before, and I think a lot of us can just nail this right down. Are you ready? Here it is. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Has everybody seen this before? Have you heard this before? These are great words. Somebody should put this stuff to music, shouldn't they? Genius! Verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Wow. Let's jump in on this, okay? Isaiah writing about Jesus Christ. And the story which we just said about Jesus coming and dying on the cross for you and raising and going back to heaven, all very true. But this gets into the nitty-gritty of who Jesus was. This gets into the nitty-gritty of what did you get? Because while we've been singing these lines and verses for years, here's what happens. We know them to be true, and we put them over here as true. But what we don't do, especially even as followers of Christ, realize that those things that are that true are also dynamically true to me personally. Nobody, and I haven't seen anybody do it yet, takes this verse and says, you know what? This has to do with you. This has to do with your relationship with Jesus Christ. This is the kind of sermon when you hear this stuff and these words, you're going to go like this. Man, those are true. But man, now I get it. Those are connected to me personally. In fact, this tells me what I got in Jesus Christ. And that's why this is exciting. So you got your notes out already? You should. Find your notes. And as you're doing that, let me just say something to you. When you write about somebody's majesty, when you write about somebody who's king, when you write about royalty, you use big terms. It's like this. Big terms. They're phenomenal and they're big. And I want you to notice this, what Isaiah says. Isaiah uses the term in verse 6, child. That's not big. Child is helpless. Child is a baby. A very plain statement of the fact that a child was given to us. There's your gift part. There's the story of Christmas. Christ is a gift, a son who was given to his children out of an act of his grace and his kindness. And now Isaiah describes this new king. You got your notes out? Here we go. The first point I want you to see. This new king, the child, verse 6, the government will be on his shoulders. We've heard that before, haven't we? Would you guys like me to sing the Messiah part of this? Okay. I said to somebody this morning, rather crudely and rudely, I said, they said they were going to do something. And I said, I dare you. I must have that kind of morning. I said the same thing to my wife at the house before we left over something. So I must have that in me. I must be looking for it right now, okay? But look at this. Look at this. You can hear it in the background. The government will be upon his shoulders. Or if you look in the Hebrew, it goes this way. If you're writing down exact meanings, the government will rest entirely or rest completely on his shoulders. This is talking about man's structures and organizations. All of those things, authority-wise. Think of it. Think of it this way. The government in China, the government in North Korea, the government in parts of Africa, all of Africa, the government over in Europe, the government here in the United States, any government you can mention that there's an authority over people will rest completely and entirely on Jesus Christ. You know what that's called? That's called sovereignty. That's called total sovereignty. Sovereignty is what a king has. So if a king's having a bad day, he can look at you as loyal subject and go like this. Off with his head. And nobody questions it. Somebody actually goes and gets an axe and cuts the guy's head off. Because the king is sovereign. If the king says this, starve out that village. Well, my goodness, you know what? They'll be starved out. And that's the way it is. Because the king is sovereign. He can do what he wants to do. Now go the other way with me. The king can look at somebody who deserves to be punished. And everybody knows it and can go like this. Out of my grace, I'm going to pardon you. And he's sovereign, and nobody questions it. And the judges, they make sure that person gets pardoned and not punished. That's an allusion to where, and as I speak, an allusion to where we were at, standing for God, before God, totally guilty of sin. And in his grace and through Jesus Christ and in his sovereignty, he says, I pardon him on the grace and the merits of the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's exciting stuff. Back to the text. The government will be on his shoulders. All authority is in Jesus Christ. You read the book of Hebrews, it talks that way. All authority is in Jesus Christ. Real authority. And listen, authority, whether used correctly or not used correctly, is still coming from Jesus Christ. Even now, as you read through the New Testament, you see the structure of governments is resting in Jesus Christ. The power and the system of Christ is the only one that matters. It's really the only one that exists. It's really the only one that lasts because his kingdom is eternal. Now, I can go on another 20 minutes on this. I can get some people in here in the crowd, you folks who've read these things before, and you can wax a little bit on this well, that Jesus and the government rests on his shoulders completely. Everybody knows that. Listen to this. Here's the part that doesn't go on in the church of the followers of Jesus Christ, people like us. We don't make the connection to our lives at this point in time. I can talk about the government and the government structure, but this goes down to every iota and every speck of life. Hold it. This comes down to my life. It needs to go further. It needs to go personal. It needs to go this way, that there's one authority structure that we have. Listen, for my actions that you see and that I do, and for, hold it, in my heart, what I think, my attitudes, my heart set, my heart preset, let me keep going here, okay? All of that is under the authority structure of Jesus Christ. That's why in the New Testament it says this, that he is master and he is Lord, and I am doulos, I am the servant. Are you catching this? We always hear this, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. I'm going to sing the Messiah before we're done. You just get, well, you dared me to, all right? But there it is. And the government will be upon his shoulder and rest completely on his shoulder. And that's great when I'm talking about the United States. That's great when I'm talking about the governments around the world. But here it is. It has to do with my government, me. It has to do with me and my heart and my mind and the fact that authority is only in Christ. My thinking and acting is only in Christ in a God-honoring way. He produces guidance. He produces direction. He produces motivation. He is the authority. He takes on my burdens and my needs. That's for the government. Yes. And for Mike, the believer and follower of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2 tells me a day is coming that every knee will bow at the name of Jesus Christ. I can't picture that because some people have been mean to me. Have you ever had anybody be mean to you? Even in the past couple weeks, some people that don't know me that well, who don't know Christ, have said some nasty things to me. Has that ever happened to you? Or hurt your feelings? Has that ever happened to you? Here's what you can do in the back of your mind. As you're talking to that person and they're letting you have it, you can go like this. There's a day coming. Oh, don't laugh, all right?
There's a day coming when you're going to bow your knee to Jesus. How about that?
So the next time you're sharing Christ like you're supposed to be, and somebody just lets you know that you're way off the mark and maybe put some colorful language to it, you can, in the back of your mind, be thinking, there's a day in just a few short, really minutes in eternity, and you will bow before Jesus and worship Him. But the bowing has already started in my life by the fact I've come to Christ. And that bowing has to be the fact that He is my personal governmental and authority structure. In Christ, we get all of that authority and all of that structure. And that phrase, the government will rest upon His shoulders, has to do with the big governments, and it has to do with the government of myself within me. Very important lesson for the follower of Christ to get. Point number two. It also says this, and you know this. He's our wonderful counselor. In fact, if you look at the Hebrew, it reads this way. We marvel at the one who gives such counsel. Or He's wonderful as a counselor. Well, taking notes, what is a counselor? A counselor is one who comes alongside, hopefully and prayerfully, has wonderful things to say to guide me. It also tells me that if He's my counselor, I'm going to say this, I want to say it the right way, I might not necessarily and probably don't know the way, which is why I need a counselor who can come alongside me and lead me in the right way. That's what He does. Notice in the text here, He doesn't get counsel from anybody. He gives counsel. Counsel about Himself. Counsel about our own lives. Counsel about this life and the correct way to walk through this life. You got your note sheet? I put something on the note sheet because Jesus, the wonderful counselor, I don't know about you, but in the past few months, there's times I felt alone. There have been times I have felt like I don't know the way. There are times I have said this, and this is wrong, but I've said this. I would pay good money for Jesus to meet me in the back room over there. Sounds like I'm going to beat Him up, but it would really go the other way. You know that. I would pay good money for Jesus to meet me in that back room. And I would get in that room and I would shut the door, just me and Jesus. And oh, by the way, I'd bring a notepad because I'm not real bright. I might forget what He says. And I wouldn't even say a word while I was in there. I would just listen to Him for 10 minutes. And when He was done, I'd come out with a whole notepad full of notes because I want to hear what He has to say. You know why? Because while He is the wonderful counselor for the world that comes alongside the world to deal with their sin, He is my wonderful counselor to guide me through this life. And that's why on your note sheet I've got this. And this is, you might not be able to write this so other people read it, but look at your note sheet. There's an exercise under point number two. It goes this way. This Christmas season, I need counsel in the following area. Okay, think for a moment. This is an exercise, you know, it's a shame that in our culture one person speaks like this all the time. But in your mind right now, interact with me. This Christmas season, I need counsel in the following area or areas. Think for a minute. What would you write in there if you knew you could get counsel in the area that you're struggling with right now? And oh, by the way, the Holy Spirit in you is that counselor. Take it to Him. On your note sheet, you can fill in what you might feel appropriate for that answer right there. In fact, right now, we're not done, but let me pray for you, because that's that important. And a bunch of us in here have got some things that are really bothering us and some things we really do need God's wisdom to get through. Let me pray for us right now as a group, okay? Father, we thank You that You are the wonderful counselor. And boy, we surely thank You that You come alongside us. We thank You for the indwelling Holy Spirit who is beside us. And Father, we apologize, ask for forgiveness, and even repent for the times that we don't run to You for the counsel that You give. So, Father, this morning, if we've had the courage to write an answer down here, great. But, Father, even if we didn't, because we don't want somebody else to see it, we bring these needs before You, asking that in Your wisdom, You would give us the great counsel, which You always do, and take us through the situation that we're concerned about. And we commit that to You in the name of Jesus. Amen. The third point this morning, here it is. Isaiah calls Jesus our mighty God. Mighty meaning strength. In fact, this mighty doesn't just mean strength. You know what this mighty means? This mighty means super strength. And in a day and age, where over the past 10, 15 years, the superheroes of the comics and all that have come back. And now we've got, I could line up superhero, 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 superhero. And we could talk about their supernatural powers. They're fantastic powers, which are not human. They are super, and that's why these people are superhuman. So, one of the special needs people, one of the special superheroes, okay, has got
biceps like that, just like this, and legs chiseled, and just strong as could be. And you've seen this, right? Am I going too fast for anybody? Okay, well, stay with me, all right? So you see, and he's just strong. But the problem with him is he's dumb as a rock. And that's why you got another superhero over here who's a smart guy. But he's kind of scrawny and nerdy looking. But he's a superhero because he's the smartest human ever. And he has to help the dumb muscle guy. Get the idea? Okay, we'll make her a girl. She's brilliant. And he's stupid. And you know, she just got something for him. But that's another story. We're not going there this morning. And you go to another superhero. Well, this guy's amazing. He needs to get to the 40th floor in downtown. You know how I do that? I go in the lobby and take the elevator. But he doesn't do that. He goes like this. And shoots out a slimy web. I hope never to get hit with that. It looks kind of sticky. And it goes up to the 40th floor. And next thing you know, he swings up to the 40th floor and goes in a window. Well, I'm in the elevator pushing a bunch of buttons. Get the idea? Well, I'm not done. There's another guy. And you know what he can do? He can run really fast. I don't mean fast. I mean so fast they call him the Flash. And you don't see anything but colors when he runs. And he can run from here across country in like 10 minutes. That's if he hits all the lights right, okay? Well, you got to abide by the traffic laws, okay? So you put these guys together, and you get the super team, and you would say that they are mighty. Not like I can do, but they are mighty. And I'm doing that just to be fun with superheroes, but you know, kings have come along who were powerful, and they've said about them that they're mighty, meaning stronger than strong. And this word here means this. It means to be superhuman past anything a human has seen. It refers to a king who's so mighty that he fights and totally conquers everyone in every war that he's ever been with. You need to get a fact straight here, and that's the fact that Jesus Christ is totally God himself, unlike any other man that's ever been before. In fact, when Jesus came here to live, nothing surprised him. Do you realize that when he was standing there, and Peter and the guys were over there talking about something, that he knew what was going on? Do you understand what he had going for him? Do you think any times the apostles came up to him, do you think at any time he went like this, "Oh, really? Tell me more. I didn't know that." He knew what was going on. It's actually a testimony to his grace to see how he didn't just jump ahead and not let these guys talk, knowing what they're thinking. Listen to me carefully here. Jesus Christ has conquered all that had to be conquered in the spiritual realm, including death itself, including everything in this life that is going to come to a crashing conclusion as he conquers all of this life too. Because of that strength, the scripture says that as a believer in Christ, I am more than a conqueror. I am strong too, not on my own. I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Christ is our mighty God. Where? Out there. In the universe, scripture says this, that the demons see him and believe, and they shudder and they're scared. That's what's going on in the unseen world. But the truth of the matter is, he's my mighty God. Hold it a second. Yeah, all those attributes that you can put on Jesus Christ as God, all the godly attributes that he has, are mine. He lives inside of me. His Holy Spirit's within me. I have access to all of that. That's why the scripture says I can be more than a conqueror, because I have all the mightiness that Jesus has living inside of me. You got that? That's pretty neat. Can't wield it the way I'd like to, you know. I'd kind of like to show you a magic trick or something, you know. Watch me turn this lizard into a turtle. And you'd go, wow, that's pretty cool. I've seen some guys on TV do some magic tricks, and I go, that's pretty good. I don't know how they do that. They made that disappear and that appear, and you get the idea. You've seen these folks. I've had friends who do magic, and it's very, very good. This isn't that. This is different. This is the power, all-consuming power of the God of the universe, who is out there in the universe and here and living inside of you in the Holy Spirit. That's the mightiness. That's why nothing can happen to you that he doesn't let happen. That's why you cannot do magic tricks. You've got the power of the God of the universe living inside of you in the Holy Spirit. He is your mighty God. And listen, and it goes somewhere personal, all right? And here it is. As we age, most of the time and most of the people I deal with and most of the things people want to talk with me about is their passing. Several of you in here already, we've talked about your passing. Some of you have talked about mine. I don't like that conversation at all, okay? Catch me. Listen to this. Everybody doesn't want to die. In fact, no one wants to die. Everybody in here thinks about there's a time coming when I will die. Even if you're younger, you come to grips with the fact that maybe even some friends of yours by now have passed away. I've done funerals for people who've been friends and contemporaries, and I've done funerals for people who've been 20 years old, and I've done funerals for babies, for friends whose babies didn't last more than a year. Okay? Death does not seem to know what age to come at. In my perfect world, here's how it works. I live to about 95. I stopped playing tennis at about 91, competitive tennis, because I just can't keep up with the younger guys in their 20s. But I was doing pretty good through my 80s. Are you hanging around with my myth right now? Okay, this is in my heart. You've got the same one working, unless you're kidding. Now I'm 95. I'm not exactly as healthy as I was, but I'm not doing too bad. And I decide I need to take a nap one day. And so I go in and lay down in my bed and I take a nap. And as I'm sleeping, I wake up on the other side, and I'm dead. Is that not cool? Do you like that?
No.
Isn't it? Okay, you just want to live a little longer now. How about 105? Okay, good. So here you go. I'm now dead. But I wake up and I'm in the presence of Jesus. I realize I died. I'm in full life. I think this is fantastic. That's my plan. Well, the reality is, that is, from what I've seen, a lie from the pit of hell. I can walk out of here today. I might have 10 minutes. I might have 5 minutes. I hear a pastor's keeling over in the pulpit, which to me is always interesting. Why did that happen there? What's God trying to say to the congregation? We'll get to that another time, okay? But here I am. I don't know what I've got. I don't know if I got another minute, another week, another year, another 10 years, or 25 years. Maybe God wants me to play tennis to 120 competitively, and I'm going to be in Sports Illustrated. That's probably not going to happen. You know what's going to happen here? I'm going to go to the doctor one of these days just like you, and he's going to say, well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I got to tell you, you've got this disease. What do I got to do? It's always a long name nobody understands. Could you make sense of that, Doc? What does it mean? It means this. It means it's not going to kill you, but it's going to get worse, and along the way, something else is going to kill you. And I'm going, oh. Then I go back to the doctor for another test, and go, oh, in addition, blah, 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 you've got blah, blah, blah. And I go, whew, are you kidding me? And now I've got maybe two things, maybe three things, maybe four things. And all of a sudden, this starts to hurt, and then this starts to hurt, and then this isn't exactly right, and this isn't exactly right. Now I can give him signals at a baseball game to bunt, okay? And, wow, so much stuff. And I deteriorate, and I get weaker, which I believe in some folks that have been through this process with me, mentors. I just can't tell you how much I've seen Christ in their life. As their physical body got weaker, how I saw more of Christ evidence in their life. And lo and behold, the very thing I don't want to have happen, the very thing I kind of fear is going to happen, I know it will, is I will get to the point where I will die, and it might not be taking that nap. It might be something else. It might be painful. It might be excruciating. It might be long and drawn out. And aren't you glad you came to church this morning to be reminded of all this Christmas season, okay? You get the idea. And what I need to know in the middle of all that is I have a mighty God, and I stand in His strength. And this body was never meant to go to heaven anyway. This body was only meant for here, and it was going to wither, and it was going to die. And then I'll get another body. I'm hoping better looking, a little taller, and a whole bunch of stuff, but we'll get to that another time. But I'm going to get another body, and it's going to be fantastic, and it's going to be young, and it's going to be rejuvenated. And when I'm dead at 105, you're going to run into me in heaven and go, wow, you look good! And I'm going to say, you look good too! And I'll be in this new life. And 1 million years from now, I'll look back and say, remember Luke back at Candlewood? And people are going to go, Luke, who was that? And what was Candlewood? That's how far in the back it'll be. With the mighty God of the universe, no matter what process I'm in life, it doesn't matter. Because I exist through it in His strength, in His grace. And that's how I can witness for Him almost more effectively with the ailments that come my way as I age. I'm talking age from age 12 up. You get the idea. Look at the fourth point with me here. Jesus Christ is called our everlasting Father. A father means this, someone who's tender and wise and faithful and trainer of life, mentor, guardian, provider, protector. There's just a list that goes on. What does Father mean? What does it mean to have a Father? And here, the Father of eternity, eternal Father, unchanging Father. This implies God's tender care as a Father. I love this. This is great. In fact, in history, several kings have been the the benefactor kings, the loving kings, not the kind that would torture and punish, but loving kings, and they demanded that their people call them Father. By the way, that still goes on in several nations around today. I'm not going to mention who they are, but I think you know. A couple of nations today demand that their people call him Father because he feels like he's just got their best interest at heart and he's taking care of them. And I love this. I have an everlasting Father. And then I'm going to stop right there and conclude this point and say this. That's not true for most of us. I don't know what your dad was like. I'm not here to ask you that kind of a question, but maybe in this area growing up, you just have a large need that didn't get met. I mean, maybe like me, you just didn't have one. What do you do with that? What do you do if you get to be a certain age and you look back in your background and go like this? Aw, I want that. I've always needed a dad and wanted a dad. How come I didn't get that? And you walk through life hurting for the fact that you don't have a dad. There's people in this room in the same way, or you've been abused by your dad, which is even worse, or really hurt by your dad, which is even worse. And you're walking around with this incredible thing over you of, man, my dad just really hurt me and really affected me. You know who you are. A lot in here had great dads, and that's tremendous. Enjoy that. That's a picture of our Heavenly Father. That's a picture of Jesus Christ as our everlasting Father. But listen, for those of us who didn't, here's the good news. Christ is your everlasting Father. Here's the good news. He steps in where your dad maybe didn't or couldn't. And he doesn't step in just for now. He is available for now. But he steps in for all eternity with me to meet my need, for my future eternity, to meet those needs. I have an everlasting Father. Don't tell me I don't have a dad. I've got a dad that's looking out for me. I got a dad who's taking care of me. I got a dad who's taking care of me so much, he's taking care of me through eternity, which no earthly dad could ever do. This is a dad who really feels for me, and I just sense at times just really hugs and wants to protect me as best he can until he can totally protect me when I'm in his presence in heaven. Cool stuff. Last point here. Christ is called our Prince of Peace. A prince who removes all peace-disturbing powers and keeps the peace secure. A kingdom of peace. In fact, this is always the ultimate goal of all kingdoms, to have a kingdom of peace. This is actually at the heart of what Christ does. Listen, when we talk peace, I look at the news like you. There is no peace. There's an illusion of peace. There has never been peace on earth. It has never happened. It is not going to happen. All of the nations are never going to play nice together. Okay? All of the people within the nation are never all going to play nice together. You see that right now in our country going on, like it goes on all the time. You see it going on worldwide, schisms between countries. You see it everywhere you look. There is no peace. Every country wants peace. Every one of us would like peace. I've had people say to me, this is great, I'm surprised, this was just a few years ago, I'm surprised you had kids. I didn't know what they meant by that, so you got to pay attention and listen to the rest of that conversation, because maybe they know something I don't. You're surprised I had kids. Why? This older woman said this. I'm surprised you had kids because in this day and age, I would have never brought a child into this world. It's so horrible out there. To which I say, you're right. It is horrible out there. And if I go through the generations of history, it's always been horrible out there. And she's not here, so I can talk this way. And I was much more graceful than this in person. But if I had your attitude, the human race would have stopped about 3,000 years ago. Because there's never been this peace you're talking about. That's called Disney World. But they want money for that peace, okay? That's not what we're talking about here. This is real life. So real life is, I have Jesus Christ as the Prince of Peace, who will, coming up in the future, bring peace to everything, which is an incredible testimony to his authority and power and sovereignty. But listen up. He is also the one that brings ultimate peace to me. I'm no longer disturbed walking around. I'm no longer concerned about what's going to happen after I pass from here. I'm no longer worried about my sin and how that's going to be paid for and what's going to happen after this life to pay for my sin and how can I ultimately earn my way into heaven. Answer is you can't. It's had through believing in the Prince of Peace who brought a peace with God over the biggest thing that was wrong between us, and that was sin. Jesus Christ abolished the barrier between me and the God of the universe, which is called sin, and he allowed me to have something with God I never had before. Listen to the word. It's a Bible term. Fellowship. Me, the God of the universe, because of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. When there isn't peace, I can't retreat from it, no. But I stand there and I enjoy the peace of Jesus Christ in all of life's situations. You're taking down verses? Isaiah 26:3, you see it there. There is perfect peace for the one whose mind is fixed on God. I can actually experience some of that peace right now. Real peace in a real relationship with Him as Savior. No matter where I find myself, it doesn't matter. And He has an ever-extending dominion and peace over me. When they sing about what Jesus does, and when the angels sing about who He is, they're singing about Him on the big scale, the big scene worldwide, and they're also telling me that He's my Prince of Peace in my heart with God. So listen, here's the question coming up. Now, I don't know if you want to do this to somebody. Somebody in the next couple of weeks after Christmas is going to go like this. Hey! What did you get? You've been listening to all this. I know how you people are. You're going to go home and read this a little more. You're going to go, that is some of the coolest stuff. I haven't had a chance to think that way. That Jesus is this so many things in my life, privately. This is fantastic. And so when the person looks and goes like this to you, hey, what did you get for Christmas? You're going to go like this. You're going to rev it all up. And you're going to get it all formed back here, okay? You guys are Southerners, but you can make snowballs, you know. You're going to make a big snowball like this, and you're going to rear back, and you're going to go, you ask the question, here it comes. And you're going to tell them Isaiah 9:6, that Jesus gave me more than I could ever ask for or imagine or even realize that I needed. That's why we worship Jesus Christ at Christmas and all year, because of what He brought for us. Got it? Isn't it neat? Let's share this with other people. Let's pray. Our Father, we once again thank You for Jesus Christ. Father, we're never going to bore thanking You for Christ. We do it over and over and over again. And we'll do it in Your presence over and over and over again for millions and billions of years. Because we'll never tire of this fantastic and fresh and new relationship that we have with You because of Him. Father, we thank You that there is so much to Jesus Christ. And that He gave so willingly to us that we might have it too. That's great. We praise You for it. Now, Father, I pray that we'd have the courage to reflect that to others this Christmas season. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.